Yeah, now we can hear things. If you have, I want to talk this morning. I believe. Amen. He said, well, you did that last week. Yeah, I'm going to do it some more. I believe. I believe. And I just like this. I believe Jesus saves. Amen. I believe. You know, we talk about, you know, last week I talked about believing in Jesus, but believing that he saves. Or I believe in repentance. A lot of times we hear that word, most of us thinking, oh, I don't need that. I'm already saved. But let me ask you this. Have you ever found yourself repenting for something you did? Hello? Asking God to forgive something you said or did or thought? Come on now. You know, we're not, or should I say, how many in here is perfect? I didn't think so. You know, we need, there are times we all need to repent from time to time. Even pastor, there's times pastor goes, Lord, I'm sorry, I did that, I should have done that, or said that, or thought that. You know, I mean, listen, all of us, as long as we're walking around in this flesh, we're going to have times where we're going to have to repent. Amen. We're going to have times where we're going to need, but we got to remind ourselves that the God that we serve is in the saving business. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go with me to the book of Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And I want to read about 7 verses here, beginning at verse 10. Mark chapter 1. Beginning at verse 10. It says, immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice from heaven said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And I want you to get that. Repent and believe in the gospel. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time, this opportunity, Lord, just to share your word today. And I pray, Lord, that in your name, we are reminded that you are the Savior of this world. And Lord, I just pray that you would anoint me, that you would be with me, that you would help me to deliver what you once said today. And God, I pray that you will be glorified and you will be uplifted. Father, I pray for the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. I want you to think about that passage I read. Because in the world that we're living in today, you know, we could see how tragedy is everywhere we look. I mean, you can turn on the TV, you see, well, shooting here, shooting there, rioting here, rioting there, this one died, that one died. You know, and, you know, it's like every time you turn on the news, that's all you hear is tragedy. That's all you hear. And this is the world we're living in today. Unfortunately, it's sad to think about that we are living in this. But we're reminded that repentance is a clear statement from Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's something that he came. Now when you think about this, and I want to get ahead of myself, but he went into the wilderness to be tempted, but straightway out of the wilderness, he began to preach repentance. Now, we believe in repentance. We believe that, you know, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We believe that. We believe our statement even declares, statement of faith says we believe that All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that repentance is commanded of God for all and necessary for the forgiveness of sin. You must be saved. But in today's world, when you think about that terminology, you must be saved. Years ago, people kind of understood what that meant. But today, people go, maybe ask, saved from what? Because we have to remind ourselves that we're living in a world today where about half of our population have never been to church. There are people in our community that has never stepped inside of a church. They've never heard really the truth about Jesus. They don't know what it means to be saved. And so when we say you need to be saved or you need to repent, you know, they may understand repentance, what that means, maybe. But we have to stop and think that we're living in a world that we've got to explain things more than we once did. People thought years ago, well, you know you're bad. You know you've sinned. Well, people, you know, I mean, let's get real now. Because we're living in a world where good is bad and bad is good. I mean, come on now. Things that were bad 20, 30 years ago are acceptable now. Things that we kind of were kind of taken back about when we heard about years ago is common stuff now. Hello? I mean, think back 30 years, 40 years ago when you heard about somebody getting divorced, like, oh my gosh. Now it's okay. Church, even the church has become desensitized to these things. We've become where it's commonplace where, okay, someone's leaving them or someone's doing this, someone's sleeping around. Oh, well, you know, and where we preached against, you know, fornication. We preached against premarital sex. Come on, somebody. We preached about these things, that these things are wrong. And now people are saying, well, it's acceptable now. It's okay. Listen, just because society says it's okay doesn't mean God says it's okay. The word has not changed. Sin is still sin. It may not be the most popular thing, but it's still sin. This world is dealing with a sin issue. The church is dealing with sin issues. We've got to remind ourselves about sin. What is sin and what is not sin? Come on. Let me just go down this rabbit hole for a minute, can I? Thank you. Because here's the thing. What we call sin may not be called sin here. Mary, we need an organ. Get you on an organ. Get a little black church going on in here now. Come on now. I feel like preaching now. How many times have we heard, and I thank God I'm not heard anything about this here, because if not, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. But let me ask you, let me just throw this out, okay? What would you say, and I'm talking about all of us, all us good church folk here. What would you say if some woman walked off the street wearing a bikini to come to church? We'd have to take the boys' heads and, you know, turn them back around, say, come on now, boys, don't be staring. Some of the wives would be elbowing their husband. And then probably, hopefully this never happens, some dear sister comes up and puts a blanket over her and says, honey, you need to cover up. Now, we're all thinking that. Yeah, I know. But what if that's all they had? And I know I'm kind of being, you know, we're kind of going extreme here. But think about this. We're more worried about the outside than we are about the inside. Something's wrong with us. You say, well, that's okay. Someone walks off the street, tatted up. Piercings all over the place. Jesus still died for them. Amen. Listen, the outside may not be what we think it should be. But we should be more concerned about the inside. You see, years ago, anybody remember this term, clothesline preaching?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I should have wore jeans today just for that point. There's churches, and I get a kick. I pastored a church in Southwest Missouri, and just three blocks down the road from us was another church. I'm going to name the name of the church. But their website was hilarious, Joey. It says on their main page on the website, our preachers wear ties when they preach. And I thought, what does ties have to do with preaching? I mean, you know, Sunday nights, I don't wear ties on Sunday nights. You know, I don't preach all the time, but even I'm thinking, I got spoiled in Louisiana because all down there, they wore jeans and they just wore shirts and nobody ever dressed up down there, and I was loving it. Oh, I love dressing up, don't get me wrong, but it's not about this. You could dress up a pig, but it's still a pig. I mean, come on. I don't care, you could have the best suit and the best dress and the best clothes, but if you've got junk coming out of your mouth, what good are you? I'd rather have somebody in blue jeans and an old shirt that will preach the word and preach the truth and let the anointing of God go through them than somebody that's dressed to the nines and don't say a thing. It's about the inside. That's what Christ come to do, is to save, to seek and to save that which is lost. I know. Let me back out of the rabbit hole now. Y'all got quiet on me. But would we worship God knowing that somebody that doesn't look like us is sitting among us? Think about that. They may look different. Oh, I got to go here. Yes, I do. Lord just prompted me. What if they don't speak the same language? What if a bunch of Hispanics walked in and started praying in Spanish, singing in Spanish? What would you think about that?
Amen.
Think about that. What if someone a different color comes in? They get a little wild. I always said, if we can sing like the black folk, pray like the Hispanic folk, and show up on time like the white folk, we'd have a good church. Listen, I love diversity. I love it, the fact, and I'm praying for diversity. I love having some soul in the singing and in the worship.
Absolutely.
I love having some soul. Listen, if you've never been to a black church, honey, you need to go. They'll wear you out.
Mm-hmm.
I shared last week about, you know, Hispanics praying. They'll wear you out. They'll stay until they're done. By the white folk, they're looking at their watches. Pastor, if you're not done by noon, I'm sorry. I got to beat the Baptist to the buffet. You know, so, you know, that's the thing. Sorry, I got to go. I got to eat. Remember the times we used to tarry all night? Remember the nights, you know, we'd have church and we go into late hours of the night. Did y'all used to do that? I remember my home church, we'd do that. Not every Sunday night, but there'd be sometimes, you know, church back then, church Sunday night started at 7. And, man, we even get done sometimes at 10, 11 o'clock at night. Sometimes later. I remember during some revival services, not getting out to about midnight. We had church. People prayed. Nowadays, you go 3 hours, that's a long service for people, so not everybody's sticking around for that. But we want God to move on our time set schedule. Where's the heart for the lost? Where's the heart for Jesus? Because if we say we have a heart for Jesus, we have a heart for the lost. If we want God to to move in our church, if we want God to move in our community, if we want God to move in our life, then we got to get the heart of Christ. Well, if you got the heart of Christ, then you have a heart for the lost. And if you have a heart for the lost, then you're going to share the gospel. Remember, Jesus came out of the wilderness, and the first thing as he began his ministry was he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Let me go back a little bit, because repentance is about Jesus. Let's look at this real quick. Because he went to the Galilee, and it said, immediately come out of the water, the heavens opened up, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Spirit descended to him upon like a dove. Jesus obeyed the direction. He obeyed. He showed and demonstrated his obedience. In the wilderness, he demonstrated his sincerity as he went into the wilderness to be tempted. He was tempted of the devil. He was tested, he was tried, and he was exposed to all things and all manner of temptation, but yet he remained faithful. He remained without sin. But on returning from that time in the wilderness, he began to declare the words, "Repent. The time has come. Repent." Church, I think we need to start uttering those words again. The time has come. We're seeing our world in a free fall, it seems like. It seems like everything, I mean, they're turning out, you know, the cops are bad. You know, like I said, what's bad is good and what's good is bad now. Pretty soon, they're canceling all kind of cultures. I mean, they canceled, you know, all cartoons and books and this and that. Guess what? They're trying to cancel the church. We're next on the hit parade. Let's cancel the church. Any people that go to church are racist. I guarantee you that's coming. Guarantee you. But what the church isn't doing is the church isn't talking about the good news. Remember, the gospel means good news. Good news. Christ come up out of the wilderness so we might come out of our sin. He come with some good news. The repent to call, or repent is not a call, it's a call, not a cause. Listen, it's a call. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance is us realizing that sin is a cancer that must be dealt with. Either we take it out of our life, or it takes us out. We got to remind ourselves that. We sing about how he saved us, and thank God I'm saved, and hallelujah, I'm saved. But if we're thankful that God has saved us, we're thankful that our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What about our friends? What about our family? What about our neighbors? What about the people we say we love? Are we thankful? Has God taken their sin out as he's taken ours? Remember, to have a heart for God is to have a heart for people. Quiet. Repentance. You see, we don't talk about repentance much. We talk about, "Oh, I got saved. Yes, I'm so thankful." You know, I remember years ago, the testimony was, "I'm thankful that I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost." Now people aren't even thankful they're saved. "Oh, that was so long ago." Yeah. I understand. But, you know, when was the last time we got excited about being saved? We don't think about it. We've taken salvation for granted. I know I have sometimes. Think about this. Think about a tragedy you personally have went through. And you thank God that he spared your life and got you through it. Anybody been in that situation before? Car accident or a few car accidents? But we thank God that he got us through that. Matter of fact, some will still talk about that. Man, I thank God. You know, it's a testimony. And as well as it should be, a great testimony of the things that God got us through. But think about that. As much as we thank God for getting us through those accidents and those times of tragedy, what about the times he saved us? What about the time he has forgiven us? What about the times that we have strayed and went down a road that we shouldn't have went down, but we came back? Like the prodigal son, we came back, and just like the prodigal son, the father put his arms around us, and he put a robe upon us, and he cleaned us up, and he had a feast in our honor, and he honored us, and he loved us, and he celebrated our return. What about those times? Church, sometimes we get so spiritual and we get so advanced and we get so knowledgeable about all these things about God and his word, we forget some of the simple truths and the basic things of his word is to thank God that he just saved us. Thank God that he redeemed us. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God he still, when I said, Lord, forgive me, he said, okay. Where would we be had it not been for the saving power of Almighty God? Where would it be had we not repent? I guarantee you, many of us probably wouldn't be alive today. We wouldn't be in this place today. And probably some of us wouldn't even be breathing today had it not been for the saving power of Almighty God. Had we not repent and turned our life over to him, we wouldn't be here today. But thanks be to God, he saved me. He sanctified me. Yes, he filled me with the Holy Spirit. Thank God he redeemed me. Thank God. We need to get a passion again for the saving power of Almighty God. And just as like he saved us, he's here to save a world that's dying. A world that's looking for answers. A world that's looking for something that they can hold on to. Something that will not be here today and gone tomorrow, but will last an eternity. Church, we have the answer the world's looking for, but many of us aren't saying anything about it. It's time the church returns to the simple phrase, Jesus saves. We talk about if we believe it, then we need to speak it. Remember, go back a few months ago, I shared kind of this analogy about a salesman. If a salesman believes in their product, they're going to sell you on it. And you'll be sold because of their belief in the product. Do you believe in your, I'm not trying to demean, but I'm just going to use this the same thread here. Do you believe in the product you're selling? Oh, Jesus ain't a sales pitch. No, but sometimes we do a poor job selling the gospel. We do a poor job convincing people. Why? Because sometimes we're not convinced ourselves. Pastor, you're getting hard this morning. I know it. But you see, we're not dealing with a game here. We're not dealing with, we finish the game and we pick up our toys and we go on. No, this ain't a game. This is a life and death issue. We're not talking about a game. We're talking about heaven or hell, life and death. We're talking about an eternity with Christ or an eternity in hell. That's what it comes down to. Y'all, I'm off my notes. Jody's back there going, I don't know where he's at. Yeah, don't worry about it. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Don't we know? This I know, right? Why?
The Bible.
There you got it. That simple children's song is so profound. It reminds us of the simple thing about the gospel. Remember, the gospel is good news. Good news. We love good news. If someone comes up to you and they're going to give you some, you know, they're going to, I got to tell you something, okay, and they start just bad news after bad news. You know, the dog ran off, their wife, you know, or the wife left them, the dog died, and, you know, cat ran away or whatever, you know, it's all gloom, despair, you know, bad news, bad news, bad news. And you're going, kind of runs you, depresses you, right? But if someone comes up to you and says, I have some good news, you're like, what? You want to hear good news, right? I like hearing good news. I listen to people, you know, I'm not trying to, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, all right? Please, don't think, oh, pastor, don't want to hear it. Now, think about this, though. If all you hear is bad news, and a lot of times pastors hear the bad news. Well, pastor, this ain't right, that ain't right. You know, this ain't going on. Sister so-and-so didn't shake my hand. And, you know, Sister Sherry just didn't smile at me today, and that hurt my feelings. I mean, come on now. Of course, I've been around. I've heard some good, bad, and ugly things of churches. And yes, sometimes it's amazing how childish church people can be, and pastors. I've been in state work. I know how. Listen, yeah, church folk can be childish, but there's some pastors that can be childish too. And you hear bad news after bad news, and problem after problem. You know, and that, you know, the pastor gets to hear all that. But I love it when someone says, I got some good news, pastor. I'm like, what? Now, you all been good. Don't misunderstand. You don't think, oh, pastor, don't want to hear our problems. No, that's what pastors are for. But you love, if all you hear is bad news, if all you give is bad, now think about this. If all you share is bad news to others outside, hear me now. They'll look at you and say, what good is this? If all you are is depressed all the time, all you are facing is problems one after another, what good is this? Hello? We got to stop and think, what are we giving? What are we sharing? What are we conveying to the world? Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Believe in the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news. Church, we need, you know, I remember hearing, and we probably all said it or thought it or something, you know, tell people, you know, you're trying to tell somebody that's not living right. You know, I remember as a kid, we used to say this phrase, turn or burn. Anybody remember that one? Get right or get left. You know, we used to say those cute little things, you know, and they were great t-shirts, you know, and, you know, great sayings and stuff, but we got to stop and think, what are we with? Okay, those are catchy phrases, but how do we tell them about the good news? Where's the good news in that? You see, the good news, what is the good news? Oh, it's the gospel. Well, what's the gospel? Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus saves you. He goes to prepare a place for you that where he is, you will be also. That's the good news. The body is going, listen, the body is going to go back to the dust, but the soul is going to live forever. The question is, where is our soul going to end up? That's the issue. That's the question. The good news is we have hope in Jesus Christ. We have hope that He died for my sins, that He's washed them away, and that I have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and no devil on this earth, below or beneath, can take that away from me, that I have the hope that I will be with Him one day. I will be pain-free. I will be problem-free. I will heal. There will be no more tears. That's the good news. No more sin. No more dying. No more pain. No more suffering. That's the good news. No more aches and pains. We don't have to worry about our knees, our hips, our elbows, or whatever else is between, you know? No more cancer. No more, you know, no more this. No more that. We're going to have a glorified body, praise the Lord. We're going to walk around on streets of gold. We're going to be shouting the songs of Zion and praising His name forever. We're going to see our lost loved ones that we have been missing for so many years. We will see them again. Why? Because I know they went to that place too. He has a place prepared for me. God loves me. He's preparing a place for me. That's the good news. Church, the world needs to hear good news. If we talk more about the gospel and less about our problems, I think we'd have less problems. What? Let me say that again. Some of you, put your phones down. Listen to this. We talk less about our problems and more about the gospel, we will have less problems. Try it. Don't prove me, prove God. Prove Him. Because I know the more we talk about Him, the world needs to hear about Jesus. World needs to know the love of Jesus. We got to get, and I keep saying this, I keep going back to this, but we got to get God back in our vocabulary more. Amen. We got to get God back in our vocabulary. Just got to adjust a little bit. I want you to think about something. Joey, come here. I'll come to you. Stand up for a minute, brother. Come here, Caleb. You know, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, right? What does He say?
He's going to be in the midst.
He's what?
In the midst.
What does that mean?
In the middle.
He's in the midst. He's there. He's in the middle. He's there. Now, if He is there in the midst, in the presence of, abiding presence, we know, think about this. If I'm by myself talking doom and gloom, is God there in the midst? No. All right, I got two or three. But if I'm talking doom and gloom, is He really there in the midst? Ah, got you now, didn't I? We forgot. Two or three gathered together in
His name.
There you go. What's in His name mean? We're talking about Him. I get two or three talking about Him. What happens? He's there. See the difference? And when He's there, what happens? You name it. You see, a lot of times we'll get together with our friends and we'll hang out, we'll talk, but what are we talking about? You see what I'm saying? Church, we talk more we start talking. We'll share our problems, you know. Well, I got this problem. I got that problem. Yeah, I got this problem. Blah, blah, problem, problem, problem. Now, I'm not saying every time we get together, you know, we gotta have ourselves a shouting Holy Ghost time. But we do need to have times and remember that in our vocabulary, there's got to be conversation about the one who saved us. Are you really, if you're really thankful that he saved you, you're going to be talking about it. And when I get together with people and we start talking about God, he begins to come into the midst of us. What's going to happen? Change. We're going to find out. As I begin to talk about God and what God has done for me, then Brother Joey's going to say, you know what? God did something for me too. And he's going to begin to share. And then Caleb's going to be, and what happens? We begin to celebrate one another what God has done for them. And we start giving God praise. He gets in the midst and we get not only changed, but transformed in his power. And guess what? That becomes contagious. And then Caleb goes around with some other people, and he begins to share what God has done for him. Joey begins to share with others in his circle, and it continues to grow. That's the difference. Thanks, guys. That's the difference. We need to get talking more about Jesus, that Jesus saves, that Jesus heals, that Jesus is our answer, and that he is still in the saving business. Are you thankful he saved you? Are you really thankful? Now, I'm not trying to be mean. Don't miss. You see, when somebody is passionate about something, you know it. I mean, you can't be around Brother Jeff here and not know he's passionate about golf. He loves his golf. I'm really debating whether I really want to go play with him yet, because I think he's going to embarrass me. I keep telling him it is my knee right now, but my knee may be a little longer recovering. But we talk to different ones and we begin to see their passions. Nothing wrong with having a passion for golf, passion for gardening, crafting, whatever. Nothing wrong with having, but where's the passion for God? Where is the passion for the one who saved us, who redeemed us? Where's the passion to share that good news? Let's face it. Yeah, many of us probably are saved. I pray all of us here are saved, but the fact of the matter is, what about all those outside? Hello? Every time we see an empty pew, we need to start thinking, okay, so-and-so's not here. Yeah, so-and-so's not here. But I also think, who can be sitting there? What friends and family need to be here that aren't here? We got to get a passion for the lost again, church. Jesus, we see in the scripture, tells us he went and wept over the city as a shepherd. As sheep having no shepherd. But when was the last time we wept over our city, over our community? This world is getting corrupt by the moment. Anybody agree with that? Then if you agree with that, then you should agree with this next statement, that Jesus is coming soon. And if we believe that, then we must believe it's time to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If you've seen someone drowning, and you had the means and the capabilities to save them, would you? Would you? Oh yeah, most of yeah, no problem. If I could have the means to do it, or you know, some people, well, I couldn't pull them out. But if you had the means, maybe you had a rope in a truck or something, you had to pull them to safety. Most of us would, yeah, no problem, man. If I seen someone drowning, and I had the means and the capability of saving them, I would. Yeah, no question. I'm waiting to let that soak in for a second. You have the means, and you have the capability of saving people. To throw that rope out. Let's be clear. I can't save nobody. You can't save nobody. Jesus saves, not me. I'm just the one that throws the rope out. You're the one that throws the rope out. But if we don't throw the rope, they won't get saved. There are people drowning in their sins right now, and you have the rope. What are you going to do? Father, I ask you right now, worship team comes. Lord, I ask you, I thank you for this time, this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for salvation. I thank you, oh God, that we are saved. For those here today, Lord, we celebrate. And we are so thankful that you are still in the saving business. Lord, I thank you that you saved me years ago. I thank you, oh God, that in the years that I have to come back and repent, you forgave me. And Lord, while we've made mistakes, God, you're still here with arms open wide, with love in your eyes and forgiveness in your hands. God, you're here to forgive those that ask from you. Father, Lord, I just ask you today, you know our hearts. Father, you know everyone's heart here today. You know where they are with you. And Lord, I pray today that everyone here that's listening, if they're not in a right standing with you, if they've not repented and not asked you to forgive them of the sins, God, I pray that it's taken care of today. But Lord, may our hearts yearn to see their community, our friends and our family, co-workers, neighbors, everyone that we come in contact with, Lord, may our hearts yearn for them. And may we have a heart like you that sees people, that sees beyond the exterior and see a soul in need of a Savior. Father, you come to seek and to save that which is lost, and you've called us, Lord God, to go into the highways and byways and compel them, and to share the good news, the hope of glory, the hope of Jesus Christ. God, may we get a passion today. May that passion grow like never before. May that fire rage as an inferno, unquenchable. Oh, Jesus. Let us share good news. Let our speech be filled with the good news. Let us talk about you more and more. Fill our lips with the hope of glory. May we be challenged and changed today to share the good news with others. Lord, before it's too late. Lord, your return is very close, closer than what many think, closer than many anticipate. We don't have time to sow wild oats. We don't have time to play games. We don't have time to do what we think we have time for. For Lord, the kingdom of heaven is at hand now. Now is the day. Today is the day. And Lord, we must have a heart for the lost. Lord, if I say I love you, I must have a heart for the lost. I must love people like I love you. Remind us, Lord, I pray today. Everyone listening, God, remind them of the day they got saved. Remind them of the transformation that took place in their life. And remind them, Lord God, of the joy that flooded their soul. The peace that they found and the indescribable happiness knowing that their sins had just been taken away. Remind them, Lord God, of that joy, that relief that their names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remind us, God, and that passion, that love, that zeal that we have. God, I pray it returns. No matter how old or how young we are, no matter what we've been through and how, Lord, we've been through things, but Lord, let the zeal return. Return us to that. Oh, sweet Spirit of living God. Oh, Father, just have your way. Everyone just continue to pray. I just want every child of God, I just want you in prayerfully, I want you to remember, just think for just a moment. Just think, pray. God, show me. Show me, oh God. Remind me of that passion. Return that passion, oh God, in my spirit. Just ask the Lord, return that to you. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I'm not right where I should be. I don't want to close this service out. I don't want this day to end without giving you an opportunity. If you're here today and say, Brother Chuck, I'm not right with God, or I need to repent and kind of get things right, today's the day. I promise you, I won't embarrass you. I will pray with you. If you want to come down here. But if you're here today and say, Pastor, I just want to get things right today. Today's the day to get things right with God. Just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Pastor, I am ready to make that return to Him. Before I change the order of service, before we change things, anyone here today, say, Pastor, today's the day I need to get some things right. Have your way, Lord. Because I don't want no one, yes, I don't want no one leaving today and not have things right with God. If you want me to pray with you, I will be more than happy to pray with you. Right here and right now. If not, that's fine, but I will be praying for you. But church, I'm going to ask you today, I just feel led of the Lord that we all just come around the altar for a moment and just ask the Lord, Lord, return that passion for the lost in my life. Return a love for the lost. Return that, O God. Remind me where I came from. Remind me what you brought me through, where you brought me from, that I could use that as a reminder to share the gospel with my loved ones. Come on, church, would you stand with me and just begin to make your way up here and pray? I just feel led of the Lord. If you want me to pray with you, special prayer, just come and stand and I will pray with you. But church, for the rest, I want you just to come and let's pray.